Thank you for joining us as we discover how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host, Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. By doing that, you can learn how to live from the inside out. And when you let your heart matter, you'll be able to claim control over your choices and your creations. Each week, we meditate on, talk about, explore the qualities of a different heart energy. Today, the heart energy is kindness, everyone's favorite. They like kindness. And if you have signed up for the weekly heart energy to be sent to you on Saturday morning so you can start meditating with us, you will see a little quote. And the quote says, today, kindness enters hard spaces and makes them soft. We meditate on these energies, and in that we have the heart speaking to us. That means you have to let your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body, all parts of you get real quiet so you can listen to the spiritual part of you speak in its soft voice. And as it speaks, it speaks in words, a vocabulary. Yes, there's understanding, that's our normal English vocabulary, but it speaks in that sensing, feeling, knowing each energy of the heart. And as you begin to listen to those and feel those and understand and experience those, many times you begin to develop a picture, a right brain picture of what that looks like to you, as well as how it feels and how it understands and how it acts. So we try to encompass as much as we can, but do understand that your energy, your heart energy, and how it speaks to you will be unique. It will not be like mine or Russell's. We just hope to stimulate your and expand your thinking, your feeling, and your understanding. So back to kindness. When I was meditating, my picture I tried to erase because I thought, oh my goodness, I don't want this to sound too, quote, churchy. But I couldn't. It just kept coming to me. It was a picture of Jesus on the cross. And to me, that meant his act of taking on the dark energy that was on the planet, that had sunk to a low vibration, transmuting that and raising the planet to a higher vibration of light. To me, that was love in action. Mm-hmm. Which is kindness. Love in action is kindness. As I said in the quote, it enters hard spaces and makes them soft. Mm-hmm. Or you could say it enters dark spaces and makes them light.
Yeah.
So that was the picture I got. And even though I tried to erase it and get another one, even though it meant a lot to me, it didn't go away. So I think that makes the good point, though, that kindness is simply love in action, which yeah. takes away all that stuff that we have about kindness being acting a certain way, talking a certain way, feeling a certain way, that just becomes a habit rather than love in action.
Yeah, and it's true for any heart quality that you can't really sum it up with a set of rules. We try and do that and say, if you are this, then, and you put a word on it, but they really don't work that way.
It does not, no.
I had a lot of memories come up. I did meditate and get a picture, but a particular story came to me, too. Would you like to hear my picture first or my story?
I don't care.
I'll start with the story. I remember when I was about, I guess I was about 8. My brother was about 6. And we had... I guess each of us had friends and gone on overnight sleepovers and stuff like that at our friend's house. But we had never really been away from home for any extended period of time. We weren't, like, sent off to camp in the summer or anything like that. And I remember at about that age, I was in third grade, or just finishing up, getting ready for that summer, there was an elderly couple at the church that we went to. Very nice people. I can't for the life of me remember their names. But they would always talk to me every time I would come in. One of them would hand me the, you know, church program for that day. And, "How are you doing, Russell?" And they'd talk to me. And, "Oh, is this your little brother? How's he doing?" And I felt very comfortable with them. And at one point they said, "You know, we talked to your parents and we thought it'd be nice if they could have a night out on the town to themselves. So we volunteered to let you come over to our house and spend the night. How would you like that?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay, sure." And it became this big deal. We, my brother and I had like pajamas that were way too old and kind of tight and that we were still hanging on to. You know, they had our favorite cartoon characters on them. But suddenly that was totally uncool to go over to somebody else's house in your old Scooby-Doo pajamas or something. So we went to the department store and we got brand new, you know, flannel pajamas, and we each packed a little bag. And we went to stay like on a Friday or Saturday night, stay with these nice old people. And they treated us so kindly. You know, we had dinner with them, and they said, "You know, well, what do you want to do?" And we said, "Well, normally we watch Wild Kingdom." And so we sat down and watched this animal show with them. And then the guy started telling us about, you know, "Well, I traveled to Africa one time," and all these stories came out, and we heard about their kids. And then they took us to the guest bedroom. We each had our own bedroom, and it was just a wonderful time. And got up in the morning and had breakfast with them, and they took us out and showed us their rose garden, and then we were off home. It was a very simple outing, but it just sort of opened up a whole other world to me, you know, to have these people that I liked, that I knew from our church, but they were basically strangers, to have them treat me so kindly. And it kind of made me, I don't know, not so scared to go out into the world and interact with people. You know, I had had sort of a sheltered life until that point, and I was kind of shy around strangers, and gave me a lot of confidence, made me a lot more outgoing. And it was really just because of the kindness that they treated us with.
Was that Kathy and Jake Swent?
It was not the Swents, although later we did spend time with them. It was some couple. They lived on Superior Avenue, not too far from where Nellie lived.
Huh.
Remember them? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
But then your memory is much better than mine. Well, you know, that story you just told, by the way, really is a compliment to what my picture was.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely love in action. I mean, to take somebody else's kids and invite them into your home when you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not expected of you. You know, we usually do kindness when it's expected.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I was thinking back and of all the kindness that I have experienced in my life, which has been huge. It's really been huge. But one person stands out when I think of kindness, and that's Ermeth Richards.
Yeah, she was very kind.
Oh, my. Ermeth was everything of kindness. I mean, she was very real. She wasn't always walking around, you know, saying nice things and doing nice things. It wasn't that kind of, you know, I always have to be kind. That's my persona role.
Right.
But she was a very real person, a very genuine person, and I felt honored to have her as my, not only my friend, but my mentor in raising my children, because she was quite a bit older than me and had raised her children. And I called on her a lot. But, you know, I was thinking of two particular things. There was one time when I got really, really, really sick. And I had two small children, and I couldn't take care of them. And all I had to do was call her and say, "Ermeth, I'm really sick. I need help." She said, "I'll be right there. I'll get your children." I didn't even have to really ask. I mean, I was asking, but she just supplied the words. And it wasn't like she did it because I was in need. She did it because she loved me And to support me was her act of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I had to go to work after the divorce, I had no clothes. And she made me 3 wraparound skirts and gave me some of her blouses. Wraparound skirt was because she hoped that when I actually could go to work and make some money, I'd get fatter. Because I was very thin. And so she did that for me. She that wasn't asked. She just knew my life well enough to know that I really didn't have clothes to go to work in. And that's, she was just there in any opportunity she could find to bring an act of kindness because she loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus did on the cross. Mm-hmm. That's the act of kindness, which comes from a genuine love. And that puts a whole different spin on kindness rather than just acting, doing good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just doing good deeds or meeting someone's need because they have a need. And a lot of times we call that kindness, and we even consider someone's being kind to us if they meet our need. But it's not truly. So what was your picture?
Well, my picture was very similar to what you've described. As I meditated, I kept seeing this garden, and I wasn't sure whether I was observing it or whether I was the gardener, but somebody seemed to be the gardener. And the gardener would go around and you know, trim off some of the dead leaves and pull some weeds and water and fertilize and pick and transplant some things and just, you know, sort of nurture, take care of the garden. And I was unclear. I asked. I said, well, okay, what does this have to do with kindness? What's the point of this gardener thing? And wasn't really a voice, but this knowing came to me and said, when your heart will bloom when kindness is the gardener.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of summed it up for me, that love, although, you know, most of our heart energies that we talk about, they all sort of fall under the families of love, power, or wisdom. Those are sort of the big three. And of course, love would be the softer of those. But kindness to me, while it's definitely part of the love family, like you said, it's love in action, I think of it as very soft, and love's perhaps a little more forceful and more doing. Kindness to me is more holding. It has that sort of creating an environment where your divine spirit can unfold. And that's what the gardening sort of summed up. The gardener doesn't make the plants grow. He just creates a perfect environment so that they can become mm-hmm. all that they should be.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah, I like it when sometimes our pictures touch, sometimes they overlap, and sometimes they just expand.
Mm-hmm.
I think today they expand each other. We always talk to people about going to the growth resources part of our website and finding something to support them. If you wanted more kindness, say, in feeling kindness in yourself. You know, there's times when you just feel that softness that we're talking about evident in what you're doing and how you're bringing yourself to another person. And then there's times when we just get into this kind of place in life. And it either goes in that place is a collection of all this emotion that makes no room for kindness. There's mm-hmm. so much of our own turbulence going on.
Yeah.
And so it either goes into depression or it goes into anger.
Right.
And so we do have a CD on anger management.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
that if you're in that kind of place, that where, you know, you're just, you don't know how to get through your emotional space,
mm-hmm.
because this helps you deal with more emotion than just anger, but especially when it gets to that peak of anger, which doesn't leave any space for softness in there. You know, all that frustration and tension that builds to anger is a hard thing feeling inside. And so the softness can't come. And so I would highly recommend the anger management CD if that's where you are.
Yeah.
If you would like to see more kindness in your workplace, because it can get very left brain and male, and the soft part of the female gets left out, there is one for business called the New Business Paradigm,
mm-hmm.
Which would help with that. So those two, we have a couple more that we will recommend later. But those two help you get past a stuck place. If you're really feeling that you have kindness, I'll go ahead and mention the other one. If two others. If you're really feeling that you have kindness and great, and you want to empower that more, expand it into your life more, we have a workshop. A lot of people prefer the workshops to the CDs. Some prefer the CDs to the workshop. But the workshop is the love. Love is the first cause. Again, helping you to put that into action. And then there is another CD called The Power of Real Choice. And knowing that when you can, when you have the ability to choose how to put that love into action, or how to prepare the garden for the heart to enter, that's all done through your choices.
Mm-hmm.
So that's four. We usually say one, but this is, kindness is so important in a world where we're busy and we're harried and it gets left out. It's so important. We all want it. We all like it in ourselves. We like to feel those feelings, and we like to know that's how we're bringing ourselves into the world, but it gets blocked. Mm-hmm. So if it's blocked emotionally, go to the anger management CD. If it's blocked in your work, in your business, go to New Business Paradigm. If you have it and are wanting to empower it greater in your life and you do better with workshops, do Love is the First Cause. And if you like the shorter CDs, it's the little $20 jobs, go for The Power of Real Choice.
No. We'll be offering a class on The Power of Real Choice this upcoming trimester.
That's right, here on site.
Center. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that we have online classes and we have on-site classes. So if you're listening and you're close by, come join us. That will be starting next month.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to acknowledge, I want us to talk about, of course, the energy for the day, but right at the end of last week's show, we got, which was on joy, the energy of joy, Stacy from Boone, North Carolina, wrote us a wonderful thing that I would like to read.
Okay.
She said, today has shown me that breathing deeply makes a difference in experiencing the joy. I love walking outdoors, but if I'm worried and breathing shallowly, that dark cloud covers my heart chakra. I have been consciously stopping and breathing today. I felt that inner smile flow through me and my body relax. Thank you for the reminder of joy being more than the frou-frou of the emotional body. Thank you very much, Stacy. That says a lot.
That was very nice.
That's very nice. Okay, where are we? We have a CD from Teresa in Asheville. It says, kindness reminds me of the bumper sticker, practice random acts of kindness. Encouraging people to take off the rough edges. Can we really change the world by joining in the expression of kindness? Do you want to start with that, Russell?
Sure. Teresa from Asheville is one of our regular emailers, is she not?
Yes, she is, and I'm really grateful for those. And I appreciate it if you do like Stacy, and if you didn't get on the show, go ahead and send it. We will acknowledge you anyway.
when I was in massage school, the lead instructor, I guess you would call them. They didn't really have titles. They were just all teachers. But the one that did most of the classes had an office there. And over his office desk, there was a little plaque. And it had a saying from the Talmud, which is the Jewish Old Testament. And it said, deeds of kindness are equal in weight to all the commandments. And he believed in that. He used to harp on that all the time in the classes. And he said, as a massage therapist, you're going to run across many situations where you don't know how to help this person. You don't know quite what's wrong. You don't have a technique for it, whatever. He said, when in doubt, just try and be kind. And I've tried to apply that. You know, that's been a go-to rule of thumb that I carried in my back pocket ever since massage school. And it has proven to be really true that you can do all sorts of wonderful things to help other people, even if you don't know what you're doing, even if you don't know what is called for. If you just try and be present and be as kind as possible, things can change.
Yes, and you know the little quote that says, kindness enters hard spaces and makes them soft.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And yet, when we're in a hard space, where somebody's really upset with us or where things aren't going right, it's very difficult to not respond with hardness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, kindness, while it's such a beautiful, soft, wonderful thing that everybody loves, we kind of wait for some situation to give us the opportunity to be kind rather than to realize that we can bring it into the hard places and make them soft.
Right, right.
And so I think what Teresa said, practice random acts of kindness. Maybe the random is when it's easy to do, when it's there already and we can join it. But the random might be when we have to go into the hard places to make them soft.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Kathy in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And Kathy has talked with us before, and we're grateful. It occurred to me this morning that the word kind comes from the same root as kin or family. Kindness is seeing us all as one rather than separate. I think this dovetails with the love in action picture of kindness. Wow, that's a good thought.
That is.
I really like that. Yeah, because kindness does, it's soft, but it also encompasses, it wraps, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives that sense of being family. And when you're kind with one, the next person, you have that same feeling of kindness no matter where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps to expand it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to respond to that in any way?
Somebody sent me a email, I don't know, a couple months ago. You know, I save things like that. If they're interesting or funny, I'll just put them in a file in my email. And there was a little...
It's called junk mail.
Well, actually, it's called RW stuff in my email. But but yeah, it amounts to junk mail most of the time. But there was a study that some institute did. It was for, I guess, one of those dating websites or something. But 16, 17-something thousand people all across the world in 36 different cultures, they polled them, gave them a questionnaire, and the number one trait that people look for in a mate, if they're going to marry, was kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody's looking for. And I think it is, as Kathy said, because it has that sense of that hopefully that we get from our family, although some families maybe don't have it, but that sense of holding, allowing you to be who you are, to become the most that you can be, to just kind of nurture and support that becoming of yours. It doesn't force you into anything. It doesn't, it's not an action verb. It's just kind of an allowing space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody's hungry for that. That's what they want most of all. And, You know, I don't know how many people get it, because everybody will probably say that they're kind, but...
You know, when I have a new student class, I don't always do it, but many times in the past I have said, well, name me one energy, because people come and they don't have a clue what a heart energy is.
Right.
They don't have a clue that these are the very qualities that they express every day. But when I explain that, they kind of catch on, and then they will name, I ask them to name the energy they feel they have maybe the strongest in. And kindness is one that people do mention a lot.
Yeah.
Compassion being another one. Because that's what we associate with the heart, is kindness and compassion. But I want to bring out, which I do all the time on this show, is that there are energies such as order and organization and persistence and strength and courage, and all of these that aren't quite so soft,
right,
are still hard energies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My wife has a big piece of kindness. And, you know, I showed her that quote about what people were looking for in a relationship. And she said, well, you know, that's what I was looking for. And I said, well, why'd you pick me then? Because, you know, I'm a nice guy, but I have a lot more of those masculine qualities, the support and the power and the decisiveness, and not soft, touchy-feely kindness a lot. And she said, there was one thing when we were dating one time. I worked late hours. I was the night supervisor at the library on campus at Emory, and we had to close up at midnight, so I was there till 12:31 some nights. And on my lunch break, we went out and got a bite to eat one time, and we're coming back just as the sun was going down, and there was these flowers in a big planter on the deck of the library, and she said, those are, I forget, nightshades or whatever. There's some sort of flower that closes up at night. You know, if we were to stay here and watch them, they'd close up. And I said, oh, flowers don't close up. She said, no, really, they do. I said, okay, whatever. You know, just didn't want to fight about it. And then, you know, I forgot about it. But a couple of nights later, I was closing up the library, and it was midnight, and I'm coming out, and the flowers are closed up tight. And I called her. I went to a payphone right away and called her up and said, you were right. I totally didn't believe you, but you were right. Those flowers all closed up. And she wasn't there. I left a message on her machine, and she said, you know, that's what made me decide to pursue our relationship, because I was dating several people at the time. That's what made me decide to pursue that. And I said, why? And she said, well, it was so kind of you to admit that you were wrong and call and tell me that, you know, you had been listening, and that it was not just, you know, you weren't going to say anything because you were wrong and you just put it behind you. You brought it up and you said, I was wrong, you were right. I'm glad you brought it up. And so I realized that, you know, kindness is, it's not just the stereotypical way that I always thought of it, of, you know, if you're kind, you're nice to people, you always say sweet things and stuff like that. But it's that allowing other people to let their heart come out and express itself and have the stage and not have to just be in charge all the time, and to take that backseat role and just sort of hold the space open for somebody else.
That family picture that Kathy had.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why it's so good for you all to contribute to this show. It expands our whole picture of an energy and gives us permission then to act in new and different ways. It gives us newer choices. It gives us a more comprehensive resume, so to speak.
Yeah.
I do want to acknowledge a sponsor. BountifulBuys.com is a place where you can go green online. It's an online store where you can reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique. BountifulBuys.com has clothes, accessories, gifts, and books that will go easy on the planet and on your wallet. You can support yourself and everyone else. You can be kind to the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I do, while I'm thinking of it, want to, we usually go alphabetically with our heart energies. Next Tuesday will be International Peace Day. So on Monday, we will be reviewing the energy of peace. So that will be on your in computer when you get your email, but we're going to be a little out of line, but in sync with the rest of the planet, hopefully.
Yeah, get people geared up for Peace Day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Have another email from Rose in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. What do we do with people who have no kindness? My boss has a hard edge that makes my job difficult. I want more kindness at work. How can I get more kindness as part of my work life? Well, you can start with the CD, New Business Paradigm, Rose. Sometimes, we can give our, we'll give our thoughts on this to try to support you with this, but these CDs are very expansive, so you might want to check that out. I'll start with this one. I have worked in situations where it was very tense, and now then that our economy has gotten a little bit in a tight spot, a lot of people are tense in their jobs, afraid they might lose them, or, you know, business is slow and it's causing the whole workforce to, in a particular business to feel a little uptight and on edge and emotionally cluttered. So when that happens, as I said earlier when I was talking about the anger management CD, there's no space for the heart to feel. And many of those soft feminine energies are felt more than thought.
Mm-hmm.
And order and organization are more male, and you think those. But kindness and love and joy, those are all more feeling kinds of energies because they're feminine.
Right.
And so when a business situation has that tension in it, as I said earlier, the tendency to harsh is to respond with harsh. If there's fear, you tend to respond with fear or anger or another harsh energy, instead of being able to bring the kindness. So I'm going to give an example that happened to me this morning, and maybe this will help you, Rose. This morning I was trying to get an appointment to go back. I had had my teeth cleaned, and I was going to go back to get my teeth cleaned again in 6 months. And so I told the lady the times, the days that I could come in a month and the time of day that I could come because my life is really, really busy. And she went all the way around the world. She tried to give me days other than that, times other than that. And then finally she said, well, we're just going to have to go beyond 6 months. I said, that's fine. My teeth can go 9 months. I mean, I have really clean teeth. So she went to the next month, and we started the whole procedure over again, giving me, you know, days other than I said, times other than I said. And my feelings started to respond to her in a not very kind way. I was thinking, what is wrong with this woman? She can't understand the parameters that are so simple. And I started to go into that judgment, not kind place, and I stopped and I said, okay, this is not something she really has, and I don't need to just respond to what she doesn't have. I need to respond to what is needed here. And what is it her heart's trying to bring to her, or what is she giving? Look for something, Jackie. So I looked and I thought, well, she is expressing an energy. It's not even totally absent. She is persistent. She's given me at least 20 choices. She's very persistent. And so I thanked her for that persistence. And I could really be grateful. So that love of the energy of persistence, not love of all of the mistakes and all of the lack of boundaries and all the other that was happening. But I could really love the energy of persistence when I boiled it down to the one thing that was present from her heart. I didn't even have to look for an ungiven gift. She was really being persistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I could then bring kindness in that way. So I would suggest to you, Rose, that you look for what it is that's behind what they're saying or what you wish was behind what they're saying, mm-hmm. and acknowledge it.
Yeah, my advice would be similar. I had a, you know, my business is all about having strangers walk in the door. Well, you know, some of them are people that I work with all the time, but Mondays are my, you know, flex days where I work with people I can't fit into my regular schedule. So Monday mornings I usually have somebody I don't see very often or a complete stranger. And I get a lot of chances to apply that rule I learned in massage school, when in doubt, be kind. And I worked on somebody today, a 76-year-old man. I had never worked on him before. And he was very gruff. And, you know, I would, when you work on somebody new, you're wanting to find out, you know, does this hurt? Is there any part of your body that's sore? Is there any place I should work on? So you have to ask a lot of questions. And I was getting very gruff replies. And he had a shoulder that was really tight. And I made a little joke about, you know, won't be able to pitch in the major leagues much longer with a shoulder that tight. And said, never cared much for baseball. I said, ooh, okay. That went nowhere. And so I was running up against that wall of gruffness, cantankerousness. But I knew, got a radio show on kindness today. It's probably not a coincidence that this guy walked in. I'm going to try and go with this energy. And I just held that energy of kindness, just kept, you know, gently asking questions here and there, trying to engage, and made a real effort in that kindness to just hold a space for him to come out in. And I tried to look beyond that pattern of gruffness and see what energy was behind it. And what I felt after a while was he was just a very practical man. Very straight to the point, blunt, simple, no nonsense, and that came across as very gruff, but he was actually very nice. I just had to hold a space for that practicality to come out from behind the gruffness,
mm-hmm.
and was able to have a really good session with him and would love to see him come back sometime, had a good connect with him after all of that. But to me, that's what the kindness does. It doesn't go in there and tear down the person's patterns that might be affronting you, that might be, you know, kind of smacking you in the face. It just creates a space where the real person can come out from behind that pattern.
Mm-hmm. Which goes back to my picture of the transmuting.
Mm-hmm.
It takes whatever seems to have rough edges and transmutes it into something that's soft.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. We have another email from Bill in Orlando, Florida. I think of myself as a kind person, yet it feels like my life is full of unkind people. To me, kindness feels good and unkindness feels bad. Is that an accurate way to view kindness? Do you want to start with that this time?
Well, every show we, you know, try and give people some baby steps for how you can just, you know, put a toe into that energy if it's entirely new to you. The one that jumped out at me first sort of applies to this question. I had an incident that occurred to me when I was, I was late high school, early college, something like that. I was working at Macy's department store. And there was a little boy that got lost, you know, and came up to me at the counter. I can't find my mom. And I said, oh, okay, well, you know, don't worry, we'll find her. And picked up the phone, called the main office and asked him to get on the intercom and, you know, describe the little boy and see if his mom could come and, you know, meet us in the men's department near the sweater counter. and then there's nothing to do but wait. And so I just put the little boy up on the counter next to me and just, you know, sat there with him. And we talked some, but, you know, what do you talk about, you know? Hey, do you like cartoons? I sure do. You know, as a college student, I didn't have a lot of rapport with him, but I didn't run off and go about my tasks. I knew that, you know, until this boy's mother gets here, I really want to just be with him and make him feel like he's not been left again. And just taking the time to be with somebody, even if you don't have a good connection with them, even if you don't know what to say, but just, you know, say, this person has something going on with them. I'm just going to kind of stand here and give them my time and see if we connect in any way, if something's going to come of this. I don't know. But just making that commitment to not walk away from the situation.
Tending the garden,
yeah,
which creates a space.
Was a big piece of kindness for me. And that would be my first baby step for anybody in that situation. If you think kindness feels good and everything that doesn't feel good is not kindness, just take a minute in a situation that doesn't feel so good and make a commitment to not walk away from it just yet and see what develops. And it may change your opinion on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good advice. But, you know, I think everybody believes they have some kindness because everybody does. But I really want to emphasize that we have, most of us have a list of what is kind and what isn't kind.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that's on our list that feels good, that is kindness, feels good, and everything that isn't kind feels bad. So the feel good and feel bad is just a limited list.
Right.
If we could expand that list, we might be able to change some of those feel bads around a little bit until they get on the love side, I mean, on the kindness side of our picture of kindness. And, you know, to give an example of that, sometimes when you are training a dog,
uh-huh,
you have to swat the dog with a newspaper.
Right.
And really and truly, or if you have a child, you wouldn't swat them with a newspaper, but you might have to put them in time out and discipline them. Actually, that can be very kind if it keeps them from going into a destructive behavior.
Mm-hmm. Right. Kindness is not always just...
So if you expand your picture of what kindness is, you're going to expand the feel good around it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a feel bad, you might look to see, which would be another baby step, to look to see if the feel bad could some way be changed so that it is a heartful expression, even though it still may not feel so good, and get on your kindness list.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
I want to acknowledge another sponsor. The Ottawahee Wellness Retreat is right here on our land. It is a place where you can come and have a healthy vacation. It's a place where you have the amenities of a bed and breakfast, plus access to a health food store, fitness room, peaceful walking trails, 10 alternative healers, and all kinds of heartful people that you'll get to interact with if you choose. If not, you can stay by yourself. But it will be healthy surroundings and good energy. This is where retreat becomes renewal. It's the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat, and you can locate that on ottawahee.com. ADAWEHI, ottawahee.com. If you check it out, you'll see what all we offer here, as well as check out the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat. We have an email from Claire in Albany, New York. I associate kindness with something I do for someone else. How can I include myself in kindness? You know, that I think most people that think of themselves as kind think of the things they do for people. They don't really see. I was glad that Kathy pointed out the kin as in family kin, that we're part of that kindness. It's not just something we do for them, because if we do for them without ourselves being included, then we want other people to do back for us, and that's the only way we feel we can be a part of kindness in a synergy kind of way, in a family kind of way. So I think that's something we really need to look at. How can you include yourself in kindness? Do you want to address that, and then I will?
Well, my second baby step sort of goes back to that story I shared with the gruff old man and how I saw his practicality after a while, that I would encourage people to try and identify the pattern of the person that they're dealing with, you know, whether they're being very blunt or whether they're talking in circles or whether they're
trying
whining.
To give you a wrong schedule and you're trying to see what's
yeah
there.
Whether they seem scattered or whatever, and see if you can find the practicality or the persistence or the love or whatever they're reaching for behind that pattern. And if you get good at doing it with other people, turn that lens on yourself and say, what's my pattern that I'm putting forth here, and what's the heart quality that I really am reaching for behind that pattern? And that way you can include yourself in that holding space of kindness just like you do the other people.
Mm-hmm. In fact, one of my baby steps would be to ask, does this kind, quote, kind act go from my heart to support their heart? If it doesn't go from their heart to support your heart and your heart to support their heart, it's not really a kind act.
Right.
If it doesn't create a heart connect, it's not really a kind act.
Mm-hmm. That's very clear.
This is from Julie in Lake Lure, North Carolina. Julie's one of our regulars, too. We so appreciate this. My picture was a white blanket covering people like a tarp with mountains in the background. I love the energy of kindness and see strength in it. Now, I like that. Yours was more softness. Mine was more a combination of the two and an act, and she's seeing the strength in it.
Mm-hmm.
This helps us. I mean, it all comes down to the merging of all these pictures or letting them touch, but they all expand us. Even if it's exactly the same picture, it empowers us more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we talk about heart qualities, what we're really talking about is one small aspect of the divine. And the Creator is far too big for any one person to see all of one aspect. I'm not going to see all that God has to offer around kindness, and no one else is by themselves. But if we put those pictures together and see where they touch, we can get a much broader view of what the Creator is trying to bring into this world.
Yeah. So she saw it as a white blanket covering people like a tarp with mountains in the background. Sort of taking part of what we've said already, that is taking the moment and creating a space for that, covering up all the patterns, and even though all the mountains are in the background, all the patterns may still be in the background, taking this particular one, separating it out and saying, okay, what is here behind this pattern? What is here? And that then connects your heart with their heart and creates that resonance of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Brad in Nashville, Tennessee. Why do some people have certain heart energies in a big way, like kindness, and others in a small way? Who doles out the heart energies anyway? I like that. Well, this gets kind of deep, Brad. I don't know if I should go this deep on who doles them out. But in the beginning, this is my philosophy, in the beginning we were one with all hearts. And then we found our way into separation. I think in the Bible it's called that
Tower
beginning.
Tower of Babel.
Yeah. It's that beginning story that they talk about of the
Garden of Eden.
Garden of Eden story.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we got into separation. The symbol of we bit into the apple.
Mm-hmm.
And we separated our male and our female, and we separated ourselves from God and the garden. And we went into all kinds of separation, and we've continued to do that. And so we've separated ourselves, and like I said, from kindness, from not merging our different kindnesses and resonating and experiencing kindness is bigger than just our picture. But we continue to feel good about our kindness on our side of the column that says these are good, kind acts, and I can feel good about these, and these aren't. That's another dividing line of separation. So who doles them out? Well, we had them all, and little by little we are claiming them back. And as we claim our own pieces back and learn how to resonate these with other people, we expand them, and that's what this radio show is about. We expand them until finally we claim them back. So you might say you have shut yourself out and you're claiming yourself back.
Yeah, I kid Jackie all the time that, you know, when we were thinking about incarnating onto the earth in this particular lifetime and doing this healing mission that we're both so wrapped up in, that you know, we were deciding what we would need to complete the mission, and she went and stood in the line for powerful psychic intuition, but I went and stood in the line for a good night's sleep. I don't know what heart quality that is, but I've always had a good night's sleep every single night. So I think we do sort of pick and choose. I think maybe, you know, I have a huge piece of kindness in my spirit and maybe didn't bring all of it down into this lifetime to work with.
Because you needed more practicality.
Because I needed to be a little more focused and a little more practical. That we do kind of pick which parts of ourselves we're really going to bring with us into any one incarnation, because we're divine beings. We're nearly infinite, and that's not going to fit into a finite moment of time and space that our life represents. So you may not have full access to all that you are, but if you open up to it, more of it can come to you, more than you brought with you in your suitcase, so to speak.
Yes, and you are all of it, but you have forgotten that you're all of it, and it's the remembering or the reclaiming that we're here doing. We wouldn't have lessons to learn if we had remembered all that we were originally, mm-hmm. and all that we have available to us, and as you say, that is still infinitely there, that we've just separated from that mm-hmm. divine part. This is from Christina in Atlanta, Georgia. My first job in high school had a cash register where we had to manually key in prices. I messed up once and had a total of $6,000. My coworker came over and just told me it was fine. It happened to everyone. She helped me fix it, and then I had confidence in that area from then on. I felt her kindness and have tried to carry that over when teaching people. That was good. And you know, when people do bring us kindness, in other words, when their love is an act of kindness, when it is goes all the way into the physical, and they get to experience it, what we're experiencing to give to them, that it's changed. It mm-hmm. transforms. It is that transmuting, transforming thing that happened with Jesus on the cross that was my picture.
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything to that?
You know, I've been in that same situation. I remember the first time I worked a register, and I, of course, screwed up. It does happen to everybody. And one of the supervisors came over and showed me how to void out the ticket that I had just created, and was very pleasant about it. And it had that sort of thing, and I want to make this distinction again, because, you know, this is the piece that I'm bringing today. You said that kindness is love in action, and for me that action is the creating of an environment where it's okay to be who you are. And that's what that supervisor did for me, and did for Christina, her coworker, did for her, is when you bring that kindness, you're not pushing the person to be more. You're not, forcing them to become something. You're just creating an atmosphere that says it's okay to be who you are.
It's okay to start where you are.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because she got it right after that, and I'm sure you did too, because you had a starting place.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a starting place. It provides the garden for the things to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I wanted to emphasize that, because I deal with caretaking patterns in people and have been counseling people for years, that caretaking and calling it kindness is a self-manipulation.
Yeah.
It's trying to make us feel good about ourselves, not even trying to do things for other people, really. It's us trying to make us feel good by ourselves. And back to whatever person said, how do I include myself? That's excluding yourself from kindness. We have to be able to feel the love of whatever that situation is. You know, whatever the energy they're bringing, or whatever mistake they've made that needs to be held in an energy, whatever that environment is that kindness is being brought to, has got to be the focus.
Mm-hmm.
Not the focus is, if I do this, I'm going to feel kind and thus feel good about myself. So if I acknowledge another baby step, it would be to wipe out your list of kindness.
Yes, that's very good. That goes back to that piece about getting rid of the rules around hard qualities.
And start fresh. Mm-hmm. And let each experience be an opportunity for kindness. So we appreciate you joining us today, and we want you to remember to let your heart matter. If you can let your heart matter every single day, you will begin to live from the inside out. And like we say in the beginning of the show, when you live from the inside out, from the heart, and it touches other hearts and resonates, you'll be able to experience and expand all these heart energies, kindness being one of those. And that gives you a different choice in life. You're not just choosing to respond to whatever the outside says you need to respond to, but you are creating your world, and you are getting to choose to do that. So join us again, and be sure to check out the archives that you can get them on our Facebook now, where they're available there, mm-hmm. or on our website, jackiewoods.org. Go to the ottawahee.com, check out who we are here, so you'll get to know us better, and feel freer to email to us, because we want you to communicate with us. So again, I thank you, and hope you'll be with us again next Monday, and invite all your friends.